Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches, and that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us in this endeavor or want other information about the program or Jim Andrews, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Visit our archives there and listen to any program you may have missed. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. We will repeat this info at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. Our email address is jimandrews@thefinalwordradio.com. And now, Jim Andrews.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. We continue our exposition of select Psalms. We've come today to Psalm 103. But before we go there, let me again emphasize what is available on my website, jim-andrews.org. By the time you hear this recorded broadcast, I will, as I've mentioned, have another ebook up on my website. This one is My Heartbeat, A Life Worth Dying For, The Radical Meaning of Christian Excellence. A little later, it'll be available in hard copy. In just another few months, marking my 50 years in the ministry, I will also publish my legacy book, Dispatches from the Front Lines, Reflections on the Glory and the Grind of the Pastoral Ministry. But as one editor has said, that book is for general admission disciples as well as pastors. So keep watching for it to pop up on the website, and this one too will be available in hard copy for those who just want a book in their hands. Of course, if you've never read them, my other stuff is already there, Polishing God's Monuments, and that little monograph, The Finality of Christ, which deals with the issue of pluralism, the false idea that there are many ways to God. So I invite you to check it out, jim-andrews.org. All right, let's go to Psalm 103. Praise for the Lord's mercies. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. In their commentary, Kyle and Daly say, there's nothing we are so prone to forget as to remember thanks that are due, and more especially thanks that are due to God. It therefore needs to be expressly aroused, lest the blessings of God go unacknowledged. Probably 13 years ago or so, I don't remember exactly, there was a great windstorm in our area. It damaged or destroyed a lot of homes all over town. I remember on that occasion that a 100-foot fir tree fell and cut through my neighbor's fine home like a butter knife. It seemed like almost everybody around lost power. Many were without heat and light for days. We knew some who were without heat and light for 2 or 3 weeks, and this was in the winter. In that time, you can imagine, we learned to appreciate afresh the amenities that we as Americans enjoy in such abundance regularly. It just reminded me that we are such ingrates as a whole. Part of our problem is that God visits us Americans with so much, so regularly, that we get in the habit of taking his goodness for granted. One symptom of that condition is when we are quicker to complain about what God hasn't done for us than to magnify him and praise him for what he has done. Matthew Henry, the well-known biblical commentator of an earlier generation, was once robbed. He wrote in his diary, "Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, the robbers did not take my life. Third, because although the robbers took my all, it was not much. Fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Very good. Well, in this Psalm of David, the great king of Israel, as we've learned to expect of him, knows what it is to thank God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, as he meditates, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Prayer always rightly begins with praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, don't forget his benefits. We owe God a debt of gratitude, people, you and I can never repay. What God did for his ancient people, he is still doing for his people today. And when David thinks of God's benefits, he reminds us that the Lord pardons all of our iniquities. That's a strong word, that word iniquities. It derives from a verb which means to bend, to twist, to distort. Our iniquities are twisted or crooked thoughts or ways. The plural, iniquities, highlights our deep corruption in God's sight. The depth of our sinfulness magnifies the height of God's forgiveness. The cost of our free pardon was very dear to God because it required the sending of his only begotten Son into the world in order to be a sacrificial atonement for our sins. That was a voluntary act on the part of God's Son, who is the mirror image of the Father himself. The sins of the Old Testament saints were forgiven on the basis of that same sacrifice by anticipation, and for us, in retrospect. But let us not forget, folks, that all of us are dealing with iniquities. You know, one of our huge problems today, even among Christians, is that we have no concept of our involvement in sin. We don't love much because we don't see ourselves as forgiven of much. David was not one who had that problem. He said God forgives all of our iniquities. And all of us, our wires are twisted. We're messed up. We're distorted. We have no concept of just how sinful we natively are. It's not only our iniquities that God forgives, but he heals all of your diseases. We're not to understand this as meaning that every disease we have, God's going to heal. That's a complete misunderstanding of the point. The God who conquers death is the master of every disease. That's the idea. And in the present, his power originates all healing wherever it occurs. Oh, I know we've got doctors and hospitals. We've got medical technology and various medications that are available to our physicians. But we are to know that all of this is part of the common grace of God. Where there is healing in the present time, let us know and thank God that it all originates with him, either directly or indirectly. God normally works through means. Sometimes he works directly through miracles, but more often he works through means. And we are privileged, most of us, to live in this country where we have daily access to these means that God has so mercifully provided, and all over the world. In most places, there are means also. Well, let us know that it is God who is responsible, directly or indirectly, for the healing of our diseases. For without his common grace, there would be no healing. In the present, his power originates all healing. And in the future, his power, when Christ returns, will eliminate all diseases. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. What does he do? He pardons our iniquities. He heals our diseases. Ultimately, he's responsible for any healing that takes place on this planet. He redeems your life from the pit. The pit here refers to the grave or to death. Sometimes the Lord shields us from death, and that's one aspect of his meaning. In other cases, the Lord promises us victory over death. We are going to die if Christ doesn't return. But those of us who believe in him, those of us who have received him as our Lord and Savior, to whom the atoning blood of Jesus Christ has been applied by faith, we are promised that though we die, we shall always live, for we go into the presence of the Lord, and when Christ returns, we will be resurrected. My, thank the Lord for all of his benefits. He pardons all of your iniquities. And we do have iniquities, more of them we could ever imagine. And he does that on the basis of Christ's atoning work. He heals all of your diseases. The power of God, whether it's by means or by miracle, he is the one who's always responsible for any healings that take place. And he redeems your life from the pit. Sometimes he shields us from death that would otherwise have been imminent. In other cases, the sense of David's word is that he gives us victory over death, for we shall arise from the grave. He crowns you with loving kindness and good things. Every day, the love-driven kindness of God surrounds his people, and the good things that we enjoy, his compassions, his tender mercy, they surround us. You and I wouldn't live and breathe another minute if it were not for the loving kindness of God, and if it were not for his tender mercies, because we live on the basis of mercy. It is by his grace we stand. The wages of sin is death, and if it weren't for that, God would obliterate us. Forget none of his benefits. And this God, who is so good to us, satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Every good thing, James tells us, chapter 1, verse 17, is bestowed from above. Every good and perfect gift comes down to us from above. Let's never forget that. Remind ourselves. Let's read it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Bless the Lord. He pardons all of our iniquities. He heals your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. In verses 6 through 14, he invites us to consider God's amazing grace. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. God has not dealt with us according to our sin, bless the Lord, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Never forget that. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear or revere him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Here's a beautiful thought. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. Bless the Lord, because the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all his people who are oppressed. God intervenes in behalf of his people. He doesn't always do it as soon as we would like it. But God has a way of intervening for us and causing the record to be set right and putting things back level again. Some of these things won't happen, of course, until Jesus returns, when God will square all the books. But time and time again, as we go through God's word, as we go both through the record of our own experience, we'll see how God has done that. In my book, Polishing God's Monument, I tell a story of a guy who used to be the neighbor of my daughter and son-in-law, and of course, you would really need to know their story and just how tough things were and have been. My son-in-law had to devote himself to being a full-time caretaker of my daughter. This was years and years ago. Of course, that's still the case. But they lived in another part of town, and there was a neighbor. He was a nasty guy. And every time Paul would come out of the house, this guy would rail at him across the street for being a malinger. Paul was a young man, and the guy never saw him go to work or anything like that, and this fellow would just sit around on his porch and smoke cigarettes and bellow at Paul. And it upset my daughter so much, and she just wanted us to pray that the Lord would do something, that the next spring, when everybody was out again on their porches, that Paul wouldn't have to go out and face that kind of nastiness. Well, spring came, and this fellow never showed up, and he never showed up, and he never showed up, and we were really curious, because he was as regular as the sun coming up in the morning in previous years. Finally, we asked a neighbor, and she said, "Oh, didn't you hear? He went out fishing this spring early, and he dropped dead. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all of his people who are oppressed. They were oppressed, and the Lord took care of that. I could tell you other stories in the same vein. That's a reflection of David's on God's habits in the past. It's an anticipation of God's habits in the future. That's the Lord's character. That's what he does. Performs righteous deeds and judgments for all his people who are oppressed. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, and forget none of his benefits. Ultimately, what's not settled now when the Lord returns, as I said, the world will see the full measure of God's justice. I so often quote the German poet Friedrich von Logau, though the mills of God's justice grind slowly, yet they grind exceeding small. Though with patience he stands waiting, with exactness grinds he all. We can count on that. Bless the Lord. Forget none of his benefits. Considering his amazing grace, he says in verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. Though we offend him, in verse 9, he restrains his anger. He cuts his anger short. He will not always strive with us. He will not keep his anger forever. Verse 11, his kindness is immeasurable. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how great God's loving kindness is to those who fear him. His forgiveness is just imponderable, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our transgressions from us. That's what David means when he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, David says, let me tell you. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those of us who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. Of course, God does not do that with simply a word. He does that because he has laid a foundation for justice in his Son who came into the world, Jesus Christ, laid down his life in order that he might be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that sacrifice was applied prospectively to God's Old Testament saints. The Lord forgave those who approached him in faith because he, in his own mind, had already sacrificed his Son. But now that his Son has come voluntarily and died in our place, retrospectively, that sacrifice applies to us. Consider how gracious and compassionate God is. For as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. We need his compassion because we're stumbling, bumbling, weak people. We're still in this flesh, and we sin much, not only in what we do, but what we think, not only in what we commit, but what we omit. And were it not for the compassion and the mercy of God, none of us would live and breathe another minute. For as I've mentioned, the wages of sin is death. We would be obliterated. But thankfully, verse 14, he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. In other words, as a father, God considers our human construction, and he considers our human limitations. He knows our frame. He is mindful that we're just dust. I love that, and I hope you do too. As far as the east is from the west, in Christ, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Like a father, he has compassion on his children, and we are his children in Christ. The Lord also, like a father, has compassion on those who fear him. Those who fear him are those who revere him. Those who revere him are those who trust in him. For he knows our frame. That's so comforting to me. He's mindful that we are dust. He never expects more of us than we're able to do or able to think. He's never put any and allowed any testing or temptation to ever come upon us, which is not normal to man. He's never allowed it. And he will, with every temptation, provide a way of escape in his grace. Forget none of his benefits. Consider his everlasting love, verses 15 through 18. As for man, his days are like grass. They're like the flower of the field. So he flourishes, bloom a while, then we wilt. When the wind has passed over it, the flower is no more, The grass is no more. Its place acknowledges it no longer. Was it here? I don't remember it. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Those who fear him are those who have faith in him. Those who have faith in him are those who revere him. And his righteousness endures to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and who remember his precepts to do them. His righteousness, his justice. Don't forget his benefits. Consider his everlasting love. All else is transient. The flowers of the field, the grass on the land, it flourishes only briefly, but we all know it passes away quickly. And that's the way it is with us. But that's not the case with God's everlasting love. Not at all. People promptly forget us, verses 15 and 16. But God's love for his people, it never ends. It never fails. There are times that we live in a cloud of mystery. There are times when it may not feel like God is loving us. Nevertheless, we can be sure that the Lord is for us. This I know, God is for me. Thank the Lord for his benefits. His people are those who fear him. His people are those who keep his covenant, those who obey his precepts. We're not saved by faith plus works. Faith is active, and faith obeys God. Our faith is not perfect. Our obedience is not perfect. But if it is faith, if we do fear the Lord, then we respond to the Lord. A faith that is not responsive is a faith that is dead. James tells us that, chapter 2, verse 14 and following. Faith is not just believing in a set of propositions. Faith does believe in certain propositions, lays hold of them, embraces them. But faith is trust. It's trust in God. It's trust in his revealed character. It's trust in his great name. It's trust in his Son. So God's everlasting love applies to those who in faith take him and his will seriously. So in verses 19 through 20, there's a universal call to worship. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens. His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, his forces, animate, inanimate. Bless the Lord, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Forget none of his benefits, is the idea. God's sovereignty guarantees his power to perform all he purposes and to fulfill all that he promises. Never let go of that thought. God's love and God's sovereignty go hand in hand. His faithfulness. He always has the power to perform and to do what he has promised, what he said he would do. So let us, his grateful subjects, offer to God the praise appropriate to his holy name. A hallmark of an unbeliever is there is no fear of God before their eyes. One of the hallmarks of a believer is that their mind and heart is full of faithful praise toward God. Forget none of his benefits. My, this could be a good prayer. O Lord, I thank you who pardons all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns me with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies my years with good things, so that my youth is renewed like an eagle at the thought of what you do. Well, thank you, dear friends, for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word, remember, is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us in this endeavor or want other information about this program or Jim Andrews, please visit our website at www.thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is jimandrews@thefinalwordradio.com. If this program is ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this broadcast outreach.